No, it's not a Bootsy Collins song, but if only it were. Actually, it's something better. It's the TechCrunch Party 2006 over at Mike Arrington's house. He's the author of TechCrunch, among other blogs. I'm Jason Lopez. This is PodTech.net. John Furrier, Michael Johnson, and I took the PodTech studio over to the TechCrunch offices on James Avenue in Atherton, California, in Silicon Valley, and we asked the question, what does Web 2.0 mean to you? And here's what we found.
My name is Drew Golkar, and the company is Three Bubbles. A few years ago, my dad and I were sitting on a rafting trip, and we were just discussing some ideas, and we thought, how cool would it be to connect people on the same web pages interested in the same content for real-time conversations? With one line of code from Three Bubbles, you integrate it into the template of your site or blog, and we dynamically generate chat rooms based on the content. So for a blog, we dynamically generate a chat room for each post.
What does Web 2.0 mean?
To me, Web 2.0 is the move to participation. Getting people to add value to the content that they're coming and create the content. That's to me, that's the major thing.
How do they do this?
So, blogging is a good example. Right now, aggregation sites like Delicious, Wikipedia is a perfect example as well. And also, obviously Three Bubbles. Bringing the real-time essence to comment. Think on blogs, there's trackbacks, comments, and now chat. So that interaction is participation, engaging part of the website.
I'm John Tokash. I'm with Homestead Technologies. We run a website called homestead.com, and it's a place where small businesses can come and build websites and become successful online.
What is Web 2.0? What does that mean to you?
Web 2.0, it's funny. A lot of people think it's a bad word, and a lot of people think it's a great word, a phrase. But, I think it's a little bit of both. If you look at what does Web 2.0 mean to me? Okay, so what Web 2.0 means to me is rather than a publishing kind of process, we're going through a sort of sharing process between the publisher and the reader, and the reader's becoming a publisher, and the publisher's becoming a reader. And so all the companies are becoming much more in tune with the people that they're building products for.
I bet you have a really good response to the question of what Web 2.0 means. Is that a loaded question?
It's a loaded question. It's all about the community creating the content.
It didn't happen under Web 1.0?
Well, Web 1.0 had to do with the companies pushing the content out to the people.
Right.
With the old web, people would take their simple corporate communications and just type them up and add some HTML and slap them up on the web. And now the readers are able to do that themselves. So they are creating their own content. And like on edgio.com, which is about to launch, they will take that content and redistribute it. And the value lies in the content that's being redistributed. If your content is boring, if you're doing the same old skateboard tricks that were done 20 years ago, who cares?
Right.
But if you're doing a new fakie that's never been seen, a 540s turnaround, I don't know, like my younger brother does.
Right.
Then it's interesting. And then that will get redistributed by its own merit because it is novel, it is innovative, and everyone wants to see it. And you tag it with the right tag words, and then it gets found.
Right.
Like listing, you would say fakie listing, and people searching or who have their RSS feed set on fakie listing are going to pick up, well, what's the new fakie? Oh, right on, dude. Oh my gosh, I got to try that. I got to go, break my neck or what have you.
Right, right. Okay, fair enough. Again, what's your name?
Mary Mack.
And your company?
Mary Mack.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Now, as a web consultant, what companies and what websites have you helped launch?
I specialize in employment websites.
Rafe Needleman from Release 1.0.
When you hear this moniker, Web 2.0, what does that actually mean?
The first thing I think of, a really small, overhyped company.
Now, why is that? Because that sounds like Web 1.0.
Web 1.0 was a bunch of really small, overfunded companies.
Okay. But fair enough. Yeah. So the idea of being overhyped, where does that come from? Why are companies being overhyped now?
Well, in fairness, you know, I'm in the middle of this, as are all of us here at this party, and there's so much buzz around all these companies that do 1 or 2 degrees different from every other company here. You could draw a line from all the people here, from one company to the other, and every one is just a degree different. All of them are great by themselves. I mean, don't get me wrong, man. I love these companies. There's some really creative stuff happening here. But I want to see somebody, people take more risks, more than just mashups, more than just another social bookmarking site.
Yeah, vertical search seems to be the big
thing. More than vertical
right
search.
Now.
Yeah, yes,
exactly.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Now, they're all great. I mean, all these vertical search companies do things that Google can't do, and they're all wonderful, but they're not different enough from each other. It's just like last time. It's just like the bubble. There's, you know, 50 companies in a space, and hopefully 3 will make it, and the others, they'll go work at the next 50 companies.
Yeah. So it seems like in some ways what's happened is there's a crack in the market, and a lot of people have seen the same crack, and they're all trying to fill that same crack. Essentially, that's what you're saying.
Yeah, and which is how companies get built. You know, and a lot of it is very personal right now because people can build a service or a company so quickly. So they see something that bugs them personally, and they build the solution. I mean, it's beautiful. They build it, and then maybe something happens. Maybe they get bought. Maybe that thing they build is a resume for their next big job. You know? So it's great. A lot of people are solving problems that they want solved, and they're solving it themselves.
Well, Google has a lot of cash.
And there's that. But Google isn't gonna give cash to every single company that's just a degree from the others. Now, it is interesting because both Yahoo and Google are making multiple bets, startup bets, in every space. Photo sharing, search, social bookmarking. They're all making multiple bets. So it's not like last time where there was, okay, you know, Cisco bought the wireless company. They're done. You know, there can be multiples, but not as many as there are right now.
Linda Serino, I'm with Nokia.
Okay. Web 2.0 is being used a lot now to describe the internet. What does it mean to you?
Ajax. Ajax and interactivity.
But how is interactivity new?
Well, because I would think of Web 1.0 as more of a publishing mechanism, even though it was much more broad-based publishing mechanism than what we've seen in the past. It was more of a push-out. Even the early blogs, people really didn't solicit comments back in. They made a blog, but it was just an easy way to push your content out faster. But now people are more incorporating content back and also looking like to aggregate, to find like-mindedness, and to do that in an interactive, dynamic way. So for me, that's Web 2.0. What that will mean? I don't know.
My name is Mike Arrington. I write a blog called TechCrunch and also a blog called Crunch Notes, but TechCrunch is the popular one. I focus on Web 2.0 companies and products.
Tell me, what does Web 2.0 mean?
To me, it means something different than it means to a lot of people. We had a situation in 2000 and 2001 where stock market crashed and a lot of, innovation didn't die, but investment certainly slowed down. And a lot of innovation was going on behind the scenes instead of out in the open in a publicized way. So we had a period of a slowdown, a nuclear winter sort of thing. And that changed in 2004. A couple things happened. Flickr was acquired by Yahoo, and Google went public. And those two things showed venture capitalists and the market in general that that liquidity events sort of could happen again. So capital started to flow immediately after that. And so it's all the stuff that's really happened since then to me, although I include Skype and Flickr and things like that. But it's really since that Flickr acquisition, a lot's happened that's really exciting. And that to me is Web 2.0. And I could go into detail. I mean, there's specifically about each of the items, but it's that level of innovation that I've seen that is important. So,
in terms of the money-making opportunities, you know, the VCs are looking at a lot of companies in the way that they were looking at them during the dot-com run-up. Are we in a bubble right now?
No, I think, you know, I think that you're seeing some increase in valuations, but I think there's two reasons for that. I think one is Google and Yahoo are in the hunt for startups. They're acquiring companies quite young. You saw Google acquire MeasureMap this last week. It's a pre-funded company. So they're driving valuations up a little bit. I also think that companies don't need a whole lot of money today to get out the door. And so they're at a little bit further along in development by the time they go out to raise the money. And so, you know, maybe it justifies a higher valuation. But, you know, companies are not going public at the rate they were just a few years ago. And until that happens again, it may never, I don't think you're going to see, you know, those kind of prices.
Yeah. If there is a Web 2.0, then that means that there must have been a Web 1.0 in some kind of iteration.
Yeah.
What does a Web 3.0 look like?
You know, Web 1.0 is walled gardens and a television experience with, you know, the occasional web form that you can fill out to interact. Web 2.0 is all about discussion. You know, Web 3.0, I don't know. No idea. Hopefully I'll be around to write about it.
All right, Mike. Thanks so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks, Jason.
Jibu Thomas, CEO of Sharpcast.
The idea of Web 2.0 has now emerged. What does that mean to you?
So I think that I know what Web 2.0 is not, and I don't think it's putting Ajax on a website. I just don't think that is. Because I just think that, you know, that makes the website easier to use. I think it's more fundamental than that. I think the promise of the web, the original web, right? There are two poster child applications, email and browser, right? Those were the poster child applications of Web 1.0. And what that was about was connectivity. Right? You were able to connect devices. You were able to connect with other people. So whatever Web 2.0 has to be about more seamless connectivity. If you think about your life day to day, you spend a lot of time on desktop applications. You spend a lot of time on, and this ties to what we're doing, right? So it's sort of self-serving for me to say this.
Right.
You spend a lot of time on desktop applications. You spend a lot of time on your cell phone. You spend a lot of time on the web, right? And today, that connectivity is seamless only on one part of that, which is a website. And so if the power of the web is really, if the internet, I should say, is to really build that bridge. So right now I can only have that connectivity if I go somewhere to the web. I have to go from my desktop to the web, or I have to go from my cell phone to the web. Why can't the web come to me, to my desktop, and to my mobile device, and not through a browser, but all the way down to my native applications, right? So I think that is the notion of the next generation of the Web 2.0, or Web 2.0, or the next generation of web, whatever you call it. You can call it Web 2.0, whatever the hell you want to call it, but I think it really is about bringing that connectivity all the way down so that I, as a consumer, don't have to switch my behavior to take advantage of this web.
My name's Wes Carr, and I'm with a company called Two Entwine, but our latest product is called GTalker, which is fundamentally a web-based version of Google Talk, but is much more about enabling contacts to share information that they find interesting.
Is it affiliated with Google on the corporate side?
I mean, we're not strictly affiliated with Google, but they have been very appreciative of us building on their network, and you know, they've congratulated us on our projects, and no animosity of any kind.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what does Web 2.0 mean to you? When you hear that, how would you describe that?
Well, in a lot of ways, it's hype, right? But so there's a lot of old things about it and a lot of new things about it, and a lot of it is, reminds me of kind of the dot-com days, you know, obscurity and just asking people for email addresses, and a lot of it's kind of an aesthetic model. And, you know, to be fair, we've kind of fallen into that as well, you know, trying to give a nice aesthetic to something without and a lot of people don't have a lot of substance behind it, but I think you're starting to see a lot of cool new social interactive services emerging and, you know, things building on top of RSS, and I think it's an emergence of a new type of services online. I'm not exactly sure where it's headed yet, but, you know, that's my take on it.
Okay.
I don't know if that's...
No, that's fine. Well, thank you very much. Thank you for the podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks.
Thanks, Jason.
Yep.
I'm Tony Gentile. I'm with a company called Healthline, and I run a product for them. The company does health search for consumers.
This vertical search area has become really hot lately, and a lot of people put it under this moniker of Web 2.0.
Absolutely.
Yeah, what does Web 2.0 mean to you?
Well, that's an interesting question, and I followed the debates on the blogs a couple months back. I think for me, Web 2.0 is really about the customer, and I say it that way because that applies to most any business, whether you're interacting with your customers through blogs and opening up new channels, and I think Scobel here tonight is a great example of doing that for Microsoft, or whether you're somebody like Ning and doing APIs for developers and still your customers and allowing them to interact with your services directly and individually. So I think it's really a way of creating an open system and an open platform that is part of the overall ecosystem that anybody can participate in.